Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
All right, good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. So today I'm actually getting very high tech here now. We're rocking a live video feed over Zoom. And today we're recording a very special episode. This will be Live the Fuel's episode 50. And we're bringing back not one, but two co-hosts. And we've never done this yet. So we've done multiple co-hosts live, but never virtually. So today we have two powerful co-hosts coming back from Mind of the Athlete. So I'm going to jump right in. Let's welcome back to the show Dr. Megan Cannon and Aaron Spurl.
Hello. Very excited to be here for the 50th episode.
That was fun, actually. Both your hellos came in like chorus. That was nice.
We planned that. We got together earlier, you know.
100%.
So to our listeners, again, Aaron and Dr. Megan Cannon, they're both from an amazing team called Mind of the Athlete here in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. But they're not just from Bethlehem. These ladies travel all over the place. And as a quick refresher to our newer listeners, I met these ladies, actually, I met Megan while recording another podcast episode at a Starbucks. And then I met Aaron with Megan at a speaking event at a local CrossFit gym. So shout out to Rob of SYR CrossFit.
Hey, Rob.
And actually, you ladies are going back there again, are you not?
Yep, I'll be there on Monday the 27th talking about setting goals.
There we go. And actually, when we were there last, it was body image?
Yep, yes. We were talking about body image and rebuilding a healthy body image from a, you know, mental and nutritional standpoint.
Okay. So, again, for our newer listeners and our older listeners, what else has been happening with that? Has that been just a new theme that you guys are going to carry through 17? Or is that something that you've always were doing from 16? Like, why even choose, actually, that topic? Because it's obviously on a lot of people's minds, but people are attacking it in many different ways. So why did Mind of the Athlete, why did your dynamic duo choose to really start working together on that?
Well, I think that it's something that I've been passionate about since I started studying nutrition. And it's a dynamic issue, and it's an issue that I think involves both nutrition and psychology. There's so much behavior around food choices and behavioral changes that need to happen. And as a nutritionist, I've got all kinds of nutrition skills, but I don't have all those behavior modification and psychology skills. So as soon as I started working with a group of psychologists, I got really excited to be able to include that dynamic, which Meg is great at.
So Meg, I'll let you chime in here. What was it like when Aaron got to join in and bring up this topic? Because we didn't discuss this before as far as like this, clearly Aaron's passionate about it. And when she joined your team and then you guys started talking about this topic, were you just as excited? I mean, how did that kind of kick off for you? Because you ladies work with so many athletes, male and female. But I think it's an important topic that a lot of people underestimate.
Yeah, you know, when I had heard of the idea originally, I mean, I grew up not only in the world of athletics, but also the world of dance. And so there's a lot of body pressure, I experienced just from the activities that I did. And I know that with just how our world and our culture is going, those things definitely did not get any less intense for those young women that are in those age groups now. And so I think whether you're a teenager or a young woman or going into your 30s, 40s, 50s, people are overall not thrilled with their bodies. I mean, you can have these very strong, educated people, and the moment you sit them in a dressing room in front of a mirror, they just tear into themselves. And so attacking it from a nutritional standpoint, because I don't have those answers. And so I can tell people, you know, hey, these are different perspectives or shifts of ways of viewing your body, but I'm not really then giving, I can't provide them the tools that would enable them to actually do something to help them build nutritionally a healthy self versus some of the more, methods that we see of people restricting or maybe over-exercising, binging, that type of stuff. And so Aaron was that extra component. And so from my end, you know, I see, and I've lived the need. I see it. And even in some of the athletes I work with, you know, they follow these certain Instagram accounts and they'll show me, oh, look at this girl, look at that, with, you know, these expectations that are set out there from our culture that, I mean, you look anywhere from a billboard going down a highway to a television show, to social media, to movies, there's this ideal that's really, really pushed on us. And there's really not anywhere to go to be able to kind of change that perspective. And so I thought it was a really great, great adventure that we're doing. And it's definitely something we're going to be continuing in 2017.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, to be able to, from the nutrition perspective, help people understand the benefits and the power of food, I think is hugely important. I think knowledge is power. And unfortunately, right now in media, there's so much negative information, like this food is bad, this food is unhealthy for you, this diet is bad. There's so much pressure and so much negative messaging that people don't understand the positive powers that food has to help you build your health. And I think that being able to work with Meg so she can help people understand a better way of viewing their body from an emotional standpoint. And then I can pour into them with some of this information on how food can empower them and strengthen them. I think the 1-2 punch of those two knowledge powerhouses can really help people build a better relationship with food and with their body.
And I think it's awesome right now because as we're discussing the power of food, we got Megan eating some yogurt over at their offices while Aaron is speaking. And then I'm over here drinking my shake. So, and then Aaron's got what, you got a beverage, a coffee?
I do, coffee with raw cocoa powder in it. Yeah.
Nice. See, there we go. So we're literally living what we speak, people. So that's the most important piece here is that when you find people like I found here with the Mind of the Athlete team and why anybody who's been following the show for a little while, they've been repetitive co-hosts because they're a great team. And I just clicked with them right away and I love what they're doing. And that's, I was like, if I had to pick a regular co-hosting partnership, I mean, I minored in psychology. I don't have a PhD, but I was like, that clicked with me years ago. And then being able to find a team of people that are already doing that. Oh, and then, oh, I'm the health and wellness nut too. And then boom, they got a nutritionist too. I was like, great. This is just a slam dunk with partnerships. And you guys were looking for more ways to getting your content out there as well, to keep growing this brand that Jared founded. And real quick to our newer listeners, Jared Spencer is the founder of Mind of the Athlete. And we were trying to get everybody on board today for this episode, but I have the technology. It's just, in the end, you got to work with people's schedules. Yeah. So we're just making it happen as we flow here. And that's the beauty of technologies. We literally have Erin at home, at her home office. I'm at my home office, and we got Megan at the actual office for Mind of the Athlete. So. But for you ladies, I think this body image thing, we've talked about it before and we can talk about it again here because I literally had this conversation the other day with somebody. They said, oh, well, yeah, man, I'm really getting into my training. But this is the guy. And he's like, yeah, the CrossFit Open happening right now. And he has a condition, not a condition. I mean, it's a condition, but I don't know if it's really illness, but he's more inflamed than some people. So he can't really get lean and cut out. And he's like, yeah, man. He's like, and he's a strong looking dude and he looks fine to me, but he's just trying to get that ripped cut ad thing. And I'm like, listen, if you have a certain condition that you're living with that's medically related, we might not ever be able to modify that. And my point is, why do you care so much? And he's like, well, I just want to get that final cut look, you know, just like the games athletes have. And I'm like, oh, here we go. We're comparing bodies and we're comparing. Okay, first of all, these are games athletes. These are people who are training every single day. They have professional coaches. If they've made it to the games, they're sponsored. So they have this lifestyle that they've been able to adapt to. And that's something that I wanted to talk about since we're on this topic is that people setting realistic ideas is that you don't look like that unless you're training like that all the time. I don't know. I mean, how would you want to dive in on that, Aaron? Let's go back to you here.
Well, they're obviously making gains. They're competing at a high level. Their body is doing well. They've adapted. They're doing well. They're recovering well. If they're able to compete at that kind of a high level, they've made a lot of behavioral adaptations and a lot of nutritional adaptations for sure. But I love what you said there, Scott. You have to work with the body that you've got. And a lot of times as Meg can talk about, we're given these visual ideas of what we think our bodies should look like. but that doesn't always match up with the reality of the biology of what our, how our body is actually put together. He's competing strong, he's sponsored, he's doing well, clearly he's coached well and is training well. So the reality comes in, I think, more from Megan's perspective on a behavioral perspective, that this person probably has to learn to be comfortable and be okay with the body that he has biologically, because we are all biochemically different. We're similar, but there are enough differences in each of our bodies that we're not all going to look exactly the same. We're not all going to have the same cookie cutter end result. But there's a huge behavioral component with that, because when he looks at himself, he may not see what you see. And that really is where Meg comes in, which is why I love working with a psychologist on this, because there is such a tendency to not see ourselves in a healthy way.
Yeah, Megan, how would you jump in on that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, body image, we oftentimes just sort of look at it in a kind of like a one-track situation, but ultimately there are different components to it. And one huge thing that Aaron touched on is that perceptual body image. And so that gentleman in particular is perceiving his body to be, you know, one way versus what it might look like to other people. And I mean, it's then impacting the way that he views his body, the way he affectively feels. And so there's that cognitive component to body image, our affective, how it impacts our emotion, and then that ultimately impacts our behavior. And so that gentleman, his training behaviors, his eating things are going to be, they're going to be now different due to all of those different things. And so it's something that's really interesting in our culture, and they're doing more research on this now, because usually a lot of things surrounding body image were very feminine based, and it was geared more towards females. But what now they're seeing is, you know, females have this strive to be thinner, this thin ideal, I want to be smaller, smaller, smaller. For guys, it's a little bit of the opposite of wanting to have more muscle mass, to be more cut, to have that definition, which now slowly, into no way, shape, or form, as much as this is done to females, but that that ideal physique for men is that buff, ripped, you know, you think of like The Rock and, you know, like that huge thing. That is now becoming the cultural ideal and the cultural pedestal for men. They're objectifying male bodies slightly more in the media, on television and things like that than they were, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago. For women, this has been going on forever. Our bodies have been objectified. Yeah, I mean, literally, you can...
Welcome to the party.
The day it was born. Yeah, and so welcome, gentlemen, seeing how that plays. But, you know, we are then seeing that.
Thanks. We're loving the transition.
Hey, man, you know, we just wanted to invite you in to give you our experience.
Listen, I know normally sharing is caring, but seriously, come on. I mean, oh, man. I mean, it's funny. You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I think this gentleman actually has, I think he actually has celiac. Can guys get celiac?
Yeah.
So I think that's part of his condition. So that's why I'm like, dude, like, you're living with a condition that affects so many people. It's like, guys, like, you know, why are you doing this? So I got Megan in the backdrop here as we're talking. She's doing a selfie, I'm guessing, of our three boxes here on Zoom. So,
you know, it's all about that social media. You know.
I love it.
On it, you're like the multitasker, girl.
I'm loving it. I was actually already thinking about it because the phone's like right here, but I was like, all right, I'm behaving myself. So I think this body image thing is definitely rampant, right? I mean, and
huge. Yeah, people, I think it's gaining steam. It's getting worse.
I'm already anti-magazine. We've discussed this on prior episodes. Like, I actually hate's a strong word, but yeah, I'm not a big fan of magazines because it does set, how do I balance this? It sets unrealistic goals visually, but that for some people, they do find that, hey man, I'm going to get going now. Like for some people, they do actually help kickstart people. So I don't want to take anything away from them, but at the same point, these are professional models. They're paid to look that good and they're going to train and use that money they're being paid for that photo or for that video. And I had this discussion the other day with somebody about bodybuilding. I'm like, guys, you know, because I'm an isogenics guy and we got people on nutrition and blah, blah, blah. And they do these all of a sudden these people who have never done physique modeling before ever want to go do a physique competition because they're getting so healthy and fit. So like, I love seeing that motivation and that inspiration, and they're using the tools and the nutrition to help them get there. So good. But then helping them understand, like, guys, like, you're going to bust your butt to look like that for one day, not even one day. What is it? Like a couple hours on stage. And then I want to make sure you understand that you're not going to look like that every day. When you get off that stage, the human body, health-wise, and Aaron, you could talk to this, should not look like that every single day.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things that I think there's a misnomer with those images and with that sport, that people expect to look that way consistently, but they force their bodies into an extreme that isn't necessarily an extreme. Well, it isn't an extreme that is healthy to maintain for every single day.
No.
You hydrate a little bit to get that kind of a cut look, and it's not a healthy way to live. I have friends that do the figure modeling, and I know the week before they go into that, they're not feeling awesome because of what they push themselves through. But then they put the magazines and those, the internet, social media, we see those images, and that's the ideal we think we need to strive to reach. But no, those, they don't look like that. They get off the stage, they get done with their competition, their body goes right back, and it should, because it's healthier. So that image, that idea that we're holding ourselves to isn't necessarily, well, it isn't a healthy extreme to try and live in on a day-to-day basis. I'm not against the figure modeling, and I think that it can be a really great motivation for people to push their bodies and to compete. But a lot of the people that do it well and sustain it for a long time also know they can't live like that 100% of the time.
No, I mean, I hear constant stories about people who just, they do it for a period of time, or they're doing it for like a bucket list item. Then they've learned something from that. They now usually should know a lot more about their nutrition, the lifestyle. They've proven to themselves that they can commit to something and accomplish it. I mean, to be fair, people do this with running for marathons. Yeah. They do it for bike races. I've done it in a number of different situations. It's cool to be able to push yourself to that limit. But like, for example, there's no way in heck I'm going to keep running marathons. I did that marathon thing, checked that off the list. I was like, yep, I'm good. I don't like running that much.
And a marathoner will tell you, you have to recover afterwards. You have to get back. And you know, ultra marathoners, you can't sustain that level consistently. You have to, that's why there's training cycles. You go through different training cycles, you ebb and you flow. You don't stay at that intensity 100% of the time. But people who are just starting into these types of sports don't understand those training cycles. And if that's the ideal they're trying to push themselves to, it can be very confusing.
Yeah. And again, psychologically, you're going into this event, and everybody knows it, man. It's race day, or it's figure day, or stage day, or whatever. And we're high on life. It's like, man, this is going to be awesome. Yeah. And then, I mean, hopefully you win or do well, and you don't immediately psychologically crash. But we all know that there's definitely going to be a down curve. Megan. So like, and I think this is important, whether we talk about fitness or athletes, but also just anybody who's been pushing themselves to that goal. And it's an upward curve. It's boom, 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 boom. And then they get that goal. And that was something that I was looking forward to talking more about today too, was like, how do you talk to the down curve, that down cycle? That's gotta be something that comes up a lot.
Yeah, it is. And they've talked about it in terms of like, there's post-Olympic depression, those athletes that get there and they work their entire lives to do this. And then all of a sudden the week after the games are over, they just don't know what to do with themselves. And there's been reports of, certain quarterbacks throughout history that after winning the Super Bowl, same thing. It's like the next day I woke up and it was like, now what? What is there? And so, there comes to a point where it's great to have these goals and it's great to have these things that we're striving towards, but there also needs to be other things. There needs to be, this is not the only pillar I'm setting my identity on. And, so having that versatility and diversity in things that you do, and yeah, you may be going after this one goal, but now that that's over, you also have your family, you also have your friends, you also have maybe this vacation because you like to travel. You also have these other things that now that you're in, there's other things that you then need to kind of integrate, because it's for anything, having a sole focus on one thing is never super healthy. And so you come down from that goal can be really, really hard the day after it happens, whether you've achieved it or not.
Well, this relates to ex-military too, right? I mean, we hear about this all the time because when they come from such a structured environment and then either they retire or their term is over or, God forbid, they've been injured and they've been released under medical release, but they don't know how to handle, like, oh my God, I've been training, like, talk about athletes right now, we've been training up to this point and you hit game day or war or whatever and then boom, it's you're done. Like, you got this crazy lifestyle transition afterwards. And the funny thing is, which blows my mind, I'm like, guys, like, you lived a different life before. So why is it so hard for people to find that down cycle, that how that readaptation back to that point? I mean, what are you ladies seeing? I don't know. Why do people struggle so much with remembering where they came from or how to, I guess, handle that transition back? I don't know. It seems like they're lost.
Yeah, well, you know, our brain remembers things. Our brain, you know, it's very powerful. And so you kind of get into these habits, you get into these routines, and it is hard to slide back, especially when you're in such an environment that, I mean, emotionally, it was a hard transition to get through. And sometimes, you know, we put so much emphasis on the transition of going somewhere, whether it's going into the military, going into a training, you know, program, going back to college, you know, to back into sport. But that transition out of it, of having so much structure or so many things to do, to then, oh my goodness, I have so much free time. A lot of people don't know what to do with themselves. And that's, you know, that's an equally as difficult transitioning back out of something that is stressful and structured like that to more of your, you know, quote, like, everyday normal person life, which has more flexibility and stuff. And so that can be definitely a mental hurdle to get over.
Well, what do you see has been, I guess, some of the worst scenarios from that? I mean, obviously you can't talk about cases, but I mean, what have been some of the examples that, and I think for people listening to this, we all know people that are fit people that work out hard, maybe that we love them or we're friends with them, or we just know them through the gym or whatever. And I think it's important for us to be aware about certain individuals that are in our lives that maybe have been training for something big. And then it's after that training day. And it's like, maybe keep in mind, like, hey, they're probably going to have a downswing. I don't know. Like, how do you teach people also socially to be more aware about this stuff? I mean, granted, we're not PhDs, so we can't do what you do. But I think it's also important as a social responsibility and friendship and your family to be aware of, like, hey, be there for them, help them through that transition. I don't know. How would you talk to somebody like that?
Yeah, you know, it's ultimately, I think culturally we're starting to become across the board a little bit more aware of, you know, the mental side of things and how our emotions and mental state really have an impact on us as overall humans and people and what we're kind of, our behavior and mood going forward. And so I think ultimately it's gradually gaining that awareness. But, you know, it's looking out for signs. It's looking out for little clues for, you know, I mean, if it's someone that you're close with, you know them, and all of a sudden they're like just kind of returning your calls a little bit differently. You haven't seen them so much. They seem to be isolating a little. Maybe you're out with them and they're like drinking more than normal. And so, you know, it's being able to just be aware and notice these behaviors and not be scared to check in with people. I think so often there's this anxiety towards, well, if I bring up a problem, then that person's problem is going to be first on their brain. And then that's not going to be helpful, when in actuality, you know, a lot of people hold things in. And so just having an outlet, having someone come up to them and being, you know, hey, you know, I noticed that this is happening. Are you okay? That's not going to all of a sudden flip someone into a depression. You know, it's actually going to be very helpful to help them have that outlet. And that, as far as your relationship, that's going to be a helpful thing moving forward. And so, you know, having the courage, don't allow that anxiety to prevent you to just check in with someone if you think something's going on. And I think, you know, like I said, culturally, it's starting to be more okay. And we're starting to recognize, hey, emotionally, like, not everybody is that perfect person that they're putting out there on social media, or that perfect, you know, idealistic human being that I think they are for whatever reason. So, well, that's not true. Everybody has their stuff. And so it's our ability as human beings to be there for each other and communicate, because that's, we have that ability, and how cool it is to have that ability. It's just getting over our own anxiety about it to reach out to people.
You know? I mean, I'm sure that comes up in your conversations too, Erin, right?
Well, absolutely. And then that was one of the things that I wanted to mention, that being an athlete and competing and experiencing those post-event dips I think one of the things that helped me the most, just as an athlete, is talking to my fellow athletes about it, you know, and hearing it, having it normalized, like Meg said, the awareness. So I knew I kind of experienced a bit of a crash after some of my events. And then when I just kind of said to one of my friends, yeah, I'm just kind of like not feeling it. I'm kind of down. And they would say, oh my gosh, me too. My friends that had competed with me. Just, I think normalizing it and understanding that everybody's kind of going through that helps so much. So having the dialogue, putting it out there, being honest with each other, instead of that people who don't compete and don't understand, they expect you to be on this high and super excited, like, because you accomplished your goal and you're done. But there's that down afterwards, and it's very legitimate. And I think talking with each other honestly about it really helps to take a lot of, like Meg said, it doesn't flip you into a worse depression. It normalizes it, and it makes you feel like, oh, okay, so this is normal. This is okay, cool.
Well, and I think that's something that people need to understand too, is that that high, that social awareness, us keeping an eye on each other, and to Megan's point, it is seems to be popping up more. It's becoming more socially acceptable, but it's something that we all can be doing. And especially like me as a coach in CrossFit. And right now, for example, we could relate this to the CrossFit world, is that the CrossFit Open is starting. And that's a big thing. Everybody who's never maybe done it before, or this is like that time of year where people start kicking their training up a notch, at least in that world. And we're going to be on a big upswing. And there's going to be little downswings too, because maybe somebody didn't do this week's workout as well as the previous one's workout or whatever. So as a coach, I have to be more aware of that with my athletes, is coaching them not to peak performance, but when that workout's done, maybe they didn't get the score they wanted. And it's like, guys, like, it's okay. Like, you did your best. So it's going to be this crazy roller coaster ride over the next month or so. And I'm already preparing for it, especially just talking to you ladies and just now that we've built a better relationship, because as a coach, I think that is part of our responsibility. And I know that you ladies work a lot with collegiate teams. And again, even though your brand is Mind of the Athlete, you're not just collegiates. You're also dealing a lot with other avenues as far as professional work environments and business world and stuff like that. So it's not just Mind of the Athlete. Jared mm-hmm. was very good at helping me understand there's lots of Mind of categories. But I think if you're in a leadership position or a coaching position or in a parenting position, we need to be holding ourselves accountable to be more aware of what's actually happening with those people in our lives.
Yeah, and these aren't also, in thinking of awareness, it's not, these aren't huge things and these massive gestures that one needs to do. You know, it's doing maybe one thing a little bit more mindful and checking in with one person, or being a little bit more aware in one situation, you know, so it's not completely reconstructing how we interact with people. It's doing just small things and little, you know, one extra thing a day, or one thing that may be differently, you know, you typically don't check in with people after a class, but then today it's like, hey, just kind of throwing it out there. How's everybody feeling? You know, it's not like we have to all of a sudden move mountains and to make our whole behavior different to accommodate this. It's the little things that we can sort of do, you know, maybe 5% more in our day. And over time, those make a huge difference.
Well, and we need to be comfortable with that, right? So that's part of it, is that most people aren't comfortable with that. So it's like, okay, if you're new to this, about really being more socially aware and asking people how they're doing, then maybe just start, like you just said, like trickle into it. Okay. Just once in a while, like ask somebody how they're doing today. That's one of the most easiest questions you could ever ask somebody for some reason, us, at least here in mankind, like it seems like we've fallen away from that. Like people can't ask people how they're doing today. I don't know.
It's just that kind of like, oh, how are you doing? Good. Yeah, me too. It's very,
like,
very.
No, seriously. Like art is all good. I don't know. I mean, then other people might say, well, don't be prying into my personal life. I'm like, okay, well, I just was hoping you're doing well. And yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I think this comes up a lot also because, again, we talk about the psychological piece, but also the physical piece and the nutritional piece too, because what happens if someone's psyche is damaged is that if they're, let's say, unhappy with their performance, it could lead to an eating issue. It could lead to poor decisions in their diet. It could lead to alcohol. There's so many things, alcohol consumption, you name it. There's all these other side paths that could be taken. And I think so much of it can be done with just, again, whatever we talk about, just coaches, like I was just talking about, or just people in general, like keeping an eye out on each other, especially here in 17 going forward, is there's so much negative crap going on, political stuff and everything else. I don't want to get into it, but it's like, guys, like, why don't we control what we can control and influence what we can influence? And something as simple as making sure that that person you work out with, or that person that you train with on your team, or just a fellow gym coach or business owner, these are all people that you ladies work with, but we all could be doing a better job, I guess, keeping an eye on each other. I think that's part of my mindset that I've been focusing on for this year. I don't know how you ladies would like to speak to that.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I think that a little bit of encouragement, and I love how Meg put this, that, you know, it doesn't have to be these huge, gigantic, grand gestures, but speaking a little bit of encouragement into somebody else's day, a little bit of positivity into somebody else's day. It doesn't take something gigantic. Just a little bit of, when you ask somebody, hey, how are you doing? And, oh, yeah, yeah, fine. No, really. I really want to know how you're doing. That simple follow-up question after their knee-jerk response can be huge. Or when you're coaching somebody and they're having a struggle with their food, instead of pouring into them, well, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, listen for the thing they're doing right and tell them, that's awesome. Build on the positive stuff people are doing rather than dog on them for the stuff they're not doing right. And I think those little moments when you can come underneath somebody and lift them up builds the positive habiting and patterns in their lives. And if you can look as a coach for those moments to encourage somebody, I think that it's just so powerful, because there's so much negative out there right now. Those little bits of encouragement can be really, really powerful.
How would you step in on that, Megan?
Yeah, well, and as a person that, you know, is being encouraging, you have no idea your impact on others. And I think that that's something that's really, really interesting. And in thinking of how we, in one comment or two comments, can really shape or impact someone's mood or behavior, it's really as simple as that. You know, I remember when I was down in grad school, there was this one class at the gym that I used to like go to pretty habitually. I really enjoyed it, like the instructor. And there was a couple weeks that my schedule got really crazy. It was exam time. So the gym just kind of got bumped out. And I remember the first time I got back to the class, the instructor was just like, hey, it's so good to see you. Like, we haven't seen you in a couple weeks. Like, how are things? Everything good? And just that, like, you know, 10 second exchange then made me feel so much greater. Like, my presence was actually missed. And oh my goodness, here's this woman that, like, oh wow. Like, she, like, that one comment. And I remember being a psych, I took a step back after that and I was like, wow, she just totally positively reinforced me being there. Like, she just totally modified my behavior in that one comment. And so then going forward, I even looked forward to even more going to that class, because I felt that that instructor was like personally invested in me. Like, she noticed that I was gone. And so it's, like I said, it's not these massive things that we need to do. It's the small changes. It's looking out for people and recognizing that if you do take that 5 seconds to check in with someone, you have no idea the big impact that may have on them, which is really cool.
Well, and on the big impact piece, I think that's something that we can use to help transition, because I know we all have meetings we have to get to here, and transition the show out a little bit. But what are some of the big impacts that we're talking about right here that people can actually be focusing on for the new year? And again, from a very simple mindset standpoint, right? Like, what is one of the things that each of you are going to be talking about in your upcoming talk at SYR, for example? Like, I think that's the biggest thing here, is there's so many different avenues that people can take, but we don't have to make it complex. Like, what are some simple things here that we could be doing?
Just start to be aware of that internal state that you have, whether it's, what am I feeling right now? And there's a ton of like apps that are out there that, like, you know, give you push notifications to kind of check in. So even if it takes something like that, you know, but just start to become more aware of your internal state, not only emotionally, but mentally. What are some of the things that throughout a day you're telling yourself? Because oftentimes we say things to ourselves that if we would try to say it to one of our friends, like, we would have no friends.
That's true. That's true.
Ruthless and mean to ourselves than we are to anybody else that we interact with. And just, so it's taking a couple moments throughout a day to just be.
What
love
do you think,
that.
Aaron?
I love that from a nutrition perspective as well, that awareness. When you're making your choices, just be aware. choose things that you know are going to nourish and empower and build a stronger, healthier body. But also take it easy on yourself. Nobody is going to become overnight this nutrition expert or be able to live their life perfectly nutritionally. I don't. I have my indulgences and I have my moments, and it's about building a healthy relationship with food. But when you can, take small steps. If it's, you know what, today I'm going to, this week, I'm going to work on healthy breakfasts, and then build that habit into your life. And then maybe once you get that habit down, take the next small step. Don't expect yourself to make these big grand jumps, and be aware of the choices that you're making them when you're making them as often as possible.
Well, I love that. I think that's part of this whole thing with, I mean, whether we're talking about health, fitness, wellness, business, anything, it's like, it's the simple things, right? It's we need to take complex things that are in our lives and start breaking them down to very simple steps and just digesting and attacking them one simple step at a time. And that's definitely going to be for the upswing. But I think going full circle back to our point on the downswing too, is that you're going to be on that downswing coming off the high, right? So it's like, don't try and completely reboot back to where you were before. You might have to start taking small steps to kind of rebuild and fight that downswing. I don't know. It sounds like that's what I'm hearing from you ladies as well.
Yep. Our emotions go up and down, and it's, you know, whether it's related to something that we're doing in our environment or just hormonally, you know, I mean, the weather impacts, I mean, there's things that impact our mood. And so being more aware of your mood, where it's at, what are the things that when you do get in one of those lower areas, when it's just, you know, maybe it's after a competition or athletic endeavor that like this goal is there and now it's kind of below. And so what do you do? What are your outlets there? I know after like the most recent Olympics, but it was maybe two Summer Olympics ago, Allison Schmidt and Michael Phelps came out saying, you know, oh man, after the Olympics, I went into a state of depression, and it was a really hard time for me. And then this time going into it, they had that experience. They figured out what for them was helpful. And I know both of them really endorse going to talking to psychologists, family, friends, like that kind of stuff. They figured out what worked for them. And so everybody can kind of figure out what are those things that when my emotional energy level is really low, I'm in a downswing, what are the things that I know help me get out of that? And again, that goes all back to awareness.
Yeah. And I love that awareness too. And I try and coach my clients, because very often one of the things that when you're in a down that you go to and you comfort yourself with is food. And so teaching and trying to coach my clients to be aware that that's what's starting to happen. And I have a lot of my clients now make a list that they put in their kitchen and on their refrigerator of other things they can do to nurture themselves in that moment, so that they're becoming a little bit more aware. Maybe go lay down for 10 minutes and let yourself relax, or maybe go for just a quick walk around the block, or hang out with your dog, throw the ball with your dog, something else that you can do that fulfills you emotionally. That's not just food. Food's okay sometimes. I'm not saying never go to food for comfort, but give yourself some other options when you're in those down moments besides just comforting yourself with food.
I couldn't have said that better myself. I love this. This is awesome, ladies. Well, all right. So we got like about a minute or two left, because I want to respect both your schedules. So final words of the episode. I know we just really closed out strong here as far as your messaging, but with what's coming up here for you ladies ahead, and we'll obviously be catching up in the coming weeks and months on future episodes like normal. But what are some powerful things that you ladies want to close out here with? Because we're coming into, what is it? It's middle of February. So in 2017. So what's some stuff, like Megan, we'll go with you first and then Aaron last.
Of like things that we're just doing, you know?
Yeah, whatever. Like final words right now and what's happening next. Like where are we going next here?
Where are we going? So many things, so many places. You know, we're doing a lot of stuff with teams now, but ultimately I think the year of 2017 is really just helping people get closer to goals, helping, you know, identify what are those barriers in your way. And that comes down to awareness, that comes down to setting better goals, that comes down to having that emotional energy management and emotional awareness. And so if we're all taking that little extra effort to be more aware of what our experience is and things that, you know, can help us manage it better, 2017 is going to go, you know, I think the country and all, everybody's struggling a little. So that's, yes, that's the one thing we have that's, you know, really uniting all of us is no one's happy. And so, you know, things that we can do both together and as individuals that, hey, we're all in the same boat. Let's just give ourselves that grace, be more aware and figure out the stuff that help us feel better.
Well said. Erin.
I think I would like to continue to help my clients and the people in general to build on the positive. We're all doing something right every day nutritionally. Find it and build on that. So if today the only thing you did that was great is you made yourself a cup of green tea, be proud of yourself for making that cup of green tea. Build on that positive habit and keep moving forward. We're so negative with ourselves. We expect ourselves to be perfect. None of us are. Stop shaming yourself. Stop being negative because you chose to have some ice cream with your kids last night. It's okay. Own it. Love your ice cream. It's okay. Build on the positive and stop beating yourself up for what you're not doing right. Find the positive and grow it.
I love that. Find the positive and grow it. All right, gang. Well, again, this is part of the powerful team with Mind of the Athlete. These ladies crush it every single time they come on. Thank you so much for having our first multi-virtual co-hosted episode here with the Mind of the Athlete. So again, to our listeners, this is what we're all about. Check them out at mindoftheathlete.com. You go back, look at their prior episodes on the show as well. But this is our episode 50th of Live the Fuel, and we're not slowing down. We're going to keep blowing it up and growing. So if you've heard it before, you'll hear it again. Keep living the fired up epic life, guys. I'll talk to you guys again soon. Good day, Live the Fuel fans. Hey, this is Scott Mulvaney, your host and founder of Live the Fuel. I just wanted to take a couple extra minutes at the end of this episode to thank you for listening in. And I want to share some reminders on some tools and resources to help you with your daily lives. First off, again, thank you and appreciation for helping me grow this new show. We just launched in September 2016, and we're growing like crazy. So a part of that thank you is, number one, please make sure you're subscribed to the show. Whether you're using Google Play or Stitcher or iTunes, you can actually click on the show and actually subscribe. So that way you're getting automatic updates when I release my next episodes with my killer co-hosts. Obviously, you guys who are listening for a while will know I'm listening 2 episodes per week. So they get listed on Monday and Friday. If you're subscribed, you'll automatically get updated. All right. So that's just one request for you. Second piece of that is please, if you get an extra minute or two in your lives, go to iTunes. I know it's not an easy process, but go into the iTunes application, go to my show, Live the Fuel, and please submit a review. If you love it, 5 stars are greatly appreciated, but this is the one thing that's going to really help me get the show ranking and really help grow it and keep me going down the road. All right. Thank you. Please submit a review. I would greatly appreciate it. Back to stuff for you. If you go to livethefuel.com, I have a free resources guide on there. It's called the Super Sevens Resource Guide. I built it about a year or two ago. It's got over 21 different tools and resources that help me get my business going online, different things I've used to help influence positive change like health, business, lifestyle influences. These go basically from ebooks to Audible books to other podcasts, you name it, it's in there. All you have to do is opt into my email list and you'll automatically get a link sent back with a PDF for you to download that for free. So thank you for listening. That's one of your free giveaways for you, just for hopping on my email list and staying in touch. All right, that said, trusted affiliations. These are resources to help you guys, okay? I have a resources page on livethefuel.com. If you go there, first off, if you're a podcaster or a up-and-coming podcaster, on the business section on the resources page, eva.fm, he is the behind-the-scenes guru that's been keeping my show going. Martin Hollins founded it. He's out of the UK. He knows how to get you the best audio editing or any other tools or resources that's going to help you launch a successful show. So shout out to Martin. I cannot do this without him. Thank you. All right, guys, health tools real quick. I'm almost done for you. Villa Capelli olive oil. I have a discount code now with these guys. This is the purest, most amazing tasting olive oil that I've ever had in my life. I've been using them for over a year. They're awesome. And they've now given me a discount code. If you use F-U-E-L, fuel, at checkout, you get an additional 10% off your order. So again, if you go to livethefuel.com/resources, click on their logo, go shopping, and you'll thank me later. Also, Pure Vitamin Club. We've had the founders on the show on different episodes, Vinny Tortorich from Fitness Confidential and Andy Schreiber. These guys have developed the purest vitamins that I've ever seen. No fillers, no additives. They had a killer multi-cap and an amazing magnesium supplement. Again, I am an affiliate, so go ahead and click on their logo and you'll get in there and actually check out some amazing, simple, and so cost-effective vitamins. Just, you'll thank me later as well. And last but not least,
Isogenics. Some of you guys are into it, some of you guys are not. Those of you guys who aren't into it and you've been looking for a change, please consider working with me. I have been doing this since 2010. It's one of my side hustles. It's not my primary hustle, but I only put the best stuff in my body. And they have some of the best supplementation, meal shakes, bars, you name it. I've been using them since I was a wildland firefighter. I've helped family, friends, lots of people lose lots of weight, also improve fitness performance. I'm a CrossFit coach. So again, if you guys are at all interested, go to my website, click on schedule, find a 15, 30 minute window. We'll sit down and chat virtually, webinar, phone, whatever. But that's a way to get on my schedule and we'll talk more about that. All right, guys, I'll let you get back to your days. Thanks for listening to Live the Fuel. I'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up, epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.